Welcome to EAA Radio. I'm Wireless Mike.
I'm Paul Prydecker. It's good to see you here, Michael.
Well, it's we've got three people today, this week, so we're kind of doing a little changing in and out. Today we are joined with Dr. Ian Johnson with the FAA, and I understand you're an engineering psychologist. Did I get that correct?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. And you're here to talk to us today about weather perception versus reality. So how do those two things differ?
Okay, well, I would like to thank you for having me. Perception is basically the way we see the world. Okay, so we visualize the information through our eyes, which is a channel. And then we try to make sense of what it is. We sometimes use experience to help with that perception, to make sense of what it is. So it's a very important part of life on the whole.
And of course, you're with the Weather and Technology in the Cockpit group of the FAA.
Yes.
And I would suspect you run into situations where pilots' perception and reality sometimes differ.
Right, and that's very that's a very good point, Paul. It differs when it, as respect to weather. For instance, the weather you perceive before you actually take off is not the same weather, or the weather is not going to be the same once you're en route, because
sure.
Weather is dynamic and it does change. So pilots have to be cognizant of that, because they're using that information to inform their decision making, whether to go or not to go, or whether to continue the flight. And we've seen a lot of accident data that's coming out of NTSB where pilots made the wrong decisions, launch, they're VFR pilots, and they launch, and then the weather changed, and they end up in IMC conditions. So it starts with a pre-flight. So when you're doing your pre-flight before, and every pilot should be doing a pre-flight, whether you're IFR, VFR, and I always recommend that you do a holistic pre-flight. So you plan, you pre-flight from your departure point throughout the entire flight all the way to from your takeoff to landing. What a lot of pilots are not doing, they're just focusing on takeoff to arrival. And when they get caught with weather, because weather does change, then they have no way out.
And something we talked about yesterday in another visit with you was that when a pilot faces a situation that is unexpected, that ramps up the pressure, which also affects the decision-making ability,
exactly.
Correct?
Exactly, because that creates stress, and most people are not good at handling stress, right? And so what we try to convey to pilots is, first of all, do a good pre-flight planning. Enhance your weather knowledge. Know the limitations of the products that you're using to make decisions. Because ultimately, if you don't know that, you're going to have a very difficult time to interpret the information that you're looking at, you need that to inform your decision making.
Yeah, as was mentioned, what you plan for isn't always what you find when you actually get there.
Exactly.
Especially on a longer flight and en route.
Right.
And sometimes you're going to have a bias to, hey, this isn't what I was expecting. And pilots need to do what when they run into those experiences?
Well, you have to be realistic to begin with. I know that weather is dynamic. And the same weather that you flew in yesterday is not going to be the same weather today. And that's where learning and getting enhance your weather knowledge of what weather is like, what to expect. And even if you've flown for 20 years, there's always going to be something new that you're learning about weather, right? And so you have to sharpen your knowledge. If you don't know, then you need to get with someone who can help you. And I always say, plan for the best, but hope for the worst.
Right. And weather can also be completely different and act differently in different areas of the country.
Exactly. So it depends on where you're flying, because, for instance, if you're used to flying in a low 48, that doesn't mean you can fly in Alaska.
There's lots of examples where that has worked.
Exactly.
Has been
exactly.
proven the case. The other thing I think about with the perception reality story, people's use of radar and expecting that the radar is real time when in fact there's quite a bit of latency built into it, and what the radar depiction shows on some of the technology today. May not be what it is when you get there.
Well, it's good that you brought it up, Paul, because we have a system that was designed. It was actually funded by the FAA called the WILD. It's the Weather Information Latency Demonstrator.
Ah.
And basically, that was designed to basically teach pilots how to recognize latency in an X-ray image.
Mm-hmm.
The only real weather or real-time weather that you would get in the cockpit is that from a weather radar.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, you have a composite that is formed by several radar sweeps, and then you get that information in, and then it is displayed on either tablet or in the cockpit. So there's latency in between when that information was actually put together, plus when it's presented. If you're using that to make decisions, you first need to know how late that information is, how old it is, right? The age of the information.
Sure. And it can be up to 20 minutes or so.
20
sometimes.
Minutes. And NTSB, yeah. I think it was in either 2012 or 2015, has put out what is called a safety alert. Because a lot of pilots have got themselves, they've had a lot of accidents where a pilot was using old weather information. And for pilots, they're thinking, well, what I'm looking at, it's got to be real, right? So the weather's still going to be there when I get there. And in most cases, they're wrong, because that's where the perception reality comes in.
Right? Yeah, 20 minutes is a big difference when your high elevation winds are moving 100 miles an hour.
Exactly.
That goes pretty quick.
Yeah.
So, you have to plan for that. And that WILD simulator, is that still available that people
can... Yeah, it's over in the hangar, but we transitioned that technology over to... a company called Midstar, and they put it in their Redbird simulators.
Oh.
And was flown for the first time in 2019 at AirVenture.
Interesting.
In the proficiency center, pilot proficiency center. So that was a success story.
Yeah.
But it all goes back to, I always use the word, it's a personal thing. You may earn your private pilot certificate and never do weather again, but yet you want to keep flying, right? So you have to brush up your knowledge. You need to, if you don't know, ask someone who knows. And, attend safety seminars, and you go to the FAST Team website. There's a lot of courses out there you can do. But, if you want to be a safe pilot, you do the right thing.
Well, and sometimes, what you're really talking about is you have to self-educate. And
exactly.
Some of your education is going to come from your experiences.
Exactly.
Good and bad.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other part of it is by your commitment to just studying and staying current.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Aviation is not a static industry. There's always new products, and it's incumbent on a good, safe pilot to keep knowing what the best practices are of the day and how to use that new technology.
Right, but I also think there's another part of that, right? Knowing the capabilities and limitations of that technology, and also knowing your capabilities and your limitations, where you set your personal minimums.
Yep.
Now, you may have an IFR rating, but you're not IFR current. You're not IFR proficient. Then you should not be flying IFR.
Yeah, I went to used one of the Redbird simulators out here and went to fly it. And they asked me my history. And I said, when did you go flying last? I'm like, I flew last week. What were you flying in? At the time, I was flying a CRJ. And they're like, what are you doing here? It's like, I haven't flown single engine pilot IFR by myself without an autopilot in a decade.
Exactly.
I need help.
Exactly.
They're like, oh, well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. The other thing when you talk about personal minimums is they can change.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, you might make decisions about handling weather in the morning.
All right.
And if you've been flying for all day long and now you're fatigued, you may have to make a different decision.
Yes.
So they do change.
Exactly. And that's something that you have to be cognizant of.
Yeah.
You have to self-check yourself, so to speak. And that's where the safe checklist comes in. There's a lot of tools out there, but pilots are not using them.
Is you mentioned it earlier. Is VMC into IMC still one of the most common?
Yeah. We lose about 200 people plus every year.
Yeah. And it's all preventable.
All preventable.
Sure.
Yeah, and I had a personal experience with that. I saw, you know, I was flying with a friend of mine who is a student pilot at the time, and we went out flying. We looked at the weather. The weather was supposed to be fine, and we took off, and instantly what was a haze turned into a cloud layer. And, you know, I'm just sitting here going, what are you going to do? And, you know, he's still a student pilot.
All right.
And you know, it's like, well, you're here. So I'm like, no. Pretend I'm not here. Pretend I'm not here. What are you going to do? And once I got him, you know, thinking he's got to make a decision, he's like, we're going to go back. I'm like, that's the right decision.
Yep.
But you have to pretend that I'm not here and you have to make these decisions because you're not learning to fly with me next to you the whole time.
Yeah, because once he's soloed and you get his private pilot certificate, he's on his own.
As somebody who's flown with you, Mike, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Thank you, Paul. Excellent. And so where can people find you here on the field if they want to come talk to you about more of these?
So we're in the FAA Safety Hangar, the Safety Center. And I also have a talk on Friday on normalization of deviance, which is a very important topic. And that's in the Gamma Hangar. So that's an EEA outside of the Safety Center.
You're a very busy person this week.
Yes. Well, we're trying to educate the pilots.
Okay, and do you have a website that you have some of these normalization of deviancy or topics on the weather, perception versus reality?
So perception versus reality, you can find that on the FAA safety site, Safety Fast Team website.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Again, we've been joined with Dr. Ian Johnson from the FAA, and this is EAA Radio.